we're living in the last days. Now, I know that when this book was penned 2,000 years ago, 1 Peter, he talked about the last days, and you say, well, we've been talking about the last days for 2,000 years. I know that's true. We have been talking about the 2,000 years ago from the present day of the last days. I really do believe that we're not only living in the last days, but I believe we're living in the last minutes, the last moments, the last second before our Lord and Savior comes back. As you look at the world today, and there's so much uncertainty, there's so much troubles and trials and tribulation and turmoil, as Christians, we need to focus on one thing, and that's Jesus Christ. Because there's no way that you make heads or tails out of what we're in the world at this time, and the trouble and the difficulty that we're in. Family problems, world problems, community problems, wherever you go, it's problems, and we'll never understand until you look at the problems of the world in the eyes and the sight of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that is the reason to keep our mind and keep focused on the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning that the Lord will open up the Word of God for us, and the Spirit of God will open up our hearts and our mind and give us a vision that we need for the tough and the rough times that we have today. I really do believe that we're in the crossroads of our nation as we've never been before. I know this nation has been through some difficult times. We've been through wars, many wars. In this country, we know that the Civil War was a bloody, bloody war for the people of the United States. World War I, World War II, Korean conflict, and others, Vietnam, and right on down to the present day of wars. And we know in the early hundreds, we know that they would have had a lot of trouble in our country, and the Great Depression, that we know that a lot of people here maybe remember the Great Depression, and it looked like there was just no way out of it. We'll never understand what really we're facing this day and the time and the trouble unless we face it through looking at it through the second coming of Jesus Christ. We cannot understand what's going on. The greatest truth that Jesus Christ may come back at any moment. At any time, at any moment. As we read this verse of scriptures, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sin. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man have received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God give us, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the scriptures this morning, for the subject, God, that you've laid upon my heart. Father, it's a much needed subject for us to look out upon our world and look inward in our hearts to understand that a lot of people believe this world's going to keep on going. It's been here for billions and billions of years, and it's going on for billions and millions and billions of years. But Father, your word tells us that one of these days there's going to be an end of the things that we know of it as time. And Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for sharing with us the Word of God, that we might be prepared to know what's going to happen in the upcoming days in the future for ourselves, our family, our friends, and also for the world. God, we just pray, God, that you might open up our understanding here this day, our hearts and our mind, to really get a handle on things around us today as we look out upon our world. And Father, we see television and news and see the happenings around us. And Father, sometimes we feel like, Lord, that the scaffolds are falling down around us. But Father, we know the platform that we stand on is a faith in Jesus Christ will never crumble. But Father, we just thank you, Lord, for that solid rock of foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Father, one of these days we know that you're coming back to put an end of everything that's known by mankind. And Father, we want to thank you for the faith, Lord, that you give us as a gift this day. Anybody wants to believe, they can believe, Father, that you are the Savior of the world. And Father, you give this gift to each and every one of us. And we just want to thank you, Lord, for this gift of life and gift, Lord, of salvation. Father, for the ever and for all the aspects of the salvation in our life this day. We'll never understand or know all of them, Lord, until we get to heaven. But Father, we want to thank you this day in the mighty and the precious name of Jesus Christ. Today, I hope that, Lord, everyone will go out of here with new hope, with a new handle on the situation, knowing that Jesus Christ is at hand, and view everything that we have in the light of the second coming of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, again for this day and this hour, that we might glorify the precious name of Jesus Christ. And this we pray, amen and amen. Verse 7 again, it says, the end of all things is at hand. That covers a multitude, does it not? It says the end of all things is at hand. Okay, this truth, yes. How should we be living then? If we believe that this morning as Christians today, if we believe that Jesus Christ is on the verge of coming back, if we believe we was really living in the last day, the last moment, if we really do, how should we be living? How should we be living? Oh, Peter penned this, as I said, 2,000 years ago. But from the very day of Pentecost and the day we're living today is been the last days, the end of time. Acts 2 and 17 says, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That was at Pentecost. Pentecost was part of the last days. That was the beginning of the church age also, but it was also the beginning of the last days. As you think about this last days, Hebrews 1 and 12 tells us, having these last days, God says he has spoken to us by his Son, whom have appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. But then it says in Philippians 4 and 5, it says, let your mortification be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. James 5 and 8 says, be ye also patient, establishing your faith, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I believe that Jesus Christ is standing at the door, ready to come back for his church. The second coming, remember, there will be two phrases. The rapture of the church, 7 years tribulation, then coming back to this earth again. I believe he's got his hand on the door, ready to open the door to come. I believe the judge is coming. As we see things around this world, he'd have to be coming and coming soon. 1 John 2 and 18 says, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. It says to be ready, be sure that he's coming. The last day, the last hour, the last minute, I believe we're coming close to the last moment. I believe we ought to be praying this day to understand the light of which we're living in today. We're living probably in one of the greatest generations that mankind has ever lived, the generation that you and I are living in today. I believe it is the last time. I believe this is a challenge to all Christians today across our land, across our country. Whatever you're going to do for Christ, you better do it and do it in a hurry. Now, this is not something that's way out there in the future. I believe it's something that's right close at hand. A lot of times people think, well, eternity. How do you think when I say eternity? Well, it's way out there somewhere. Well, that's for the old people that go out into eternity. That's for the old people that go out for eternity. But let me tell you, eternity for every one of us here this day is just a heartbeat away. It is just a heartbeat away. Something we'd like to put out of our mind. Something we'd like to think of this way out there in the future. I've got my kids and I got my grandkids and my great-grandkids and I want to see them grow up and be old, but it's something way out there in the future. But I want to tell you what, the eternity is right at hand for each and every one of us. There are people that's leaving and go out into eternity every moment, every second, Lord, that our heart is beating. It's just a beat away from eternity, every one of us. As you think about this, the coming of our Lord and Savior, the second coming of Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you the best sign that I know of is a sign is when you think about this, do you really think that Jesus Christ is coming today? I'm asking you this question for everybody in this building today to know what I'm saying. Do you really believe that Jesus Christ is coming this day on Sunday? Do you really believe that Jesus Christ could come this day? Do you really believe that Jesus Christ could come before we get out of this service today? Do you really believe that Jesus Christ could come back today? And what are you really thinking this minute? Well, I don't really think that Jesus is going to come right now. He might come, but I don't think he's really going to come today. Now, that's most of our thinking today. I really don't believe that he's going to come back today. Well, you know, and people don't believe that Jesus Christ is near at hand. People don't believe that Jesus Christ is going to come back. That's way out there in the future. Those that do believe it claim that we're Christians, claim that we believe the second coming of Jesus Christ. But it's not now. I got all my future ahead of me. I mean, listen, I'm a young person. I got to go to school, and then I hope I get married. And then I get married, I hope I go have some kids and some grandkids and see all that. It's all way out there in the future. I don't believe it's going to come. I don't believe he's going to come right now. But you know, the Bible tells us that that is one of the greatest signs that Jesus Christ is soon coming. Because it says in Matthew 24:44, if you just listen, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So this is one of the greatest signs in our society and our generation, that people do not believe that Jesus Christ is going to come back. Not no time soon. Oh, yeah, we say we believe it. I think every Christian say they believe it, but not no time soon. It's always way out there in the future. And Jesus Christ said there in Matthew, when the hour when people thinks not, he says, then he's going to come. And that's the way people's living today. They just think not. Well, if we really do get that in our hearts and our mind today, that Jesus Christ is on the verge of coming back, that Jesus Christ can come back any minute, what should be the lifestyle for us in these last days? What should be the lifestyle? And this has really touched my heart this hour. This has really touched my heart in the sermon that God has given me, because what is the lifestyle of IB? What is your lifestyle should be? If I believe what the Bible says and what I'm preaching this day, shouldn't it have a change and effect on my lifestyle? Should it have a change and effect on every one of us in here? Should it have a change and effect of our church today if we really believe this? It ought to be true for us in my heart, in my life, and for all that lives with us to have the energy and also the urgency to live the last day how Christ has told us to live. To start with, learning of his coming. That's the first thing that grasped my mind, that we need to live in the learning of his coming. It says there in verse 7 again, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. Now that sober is not talking about the word of getting drunk with some type of beer or something or other, but it means live your heart in seriousness. Be very serious of what this day and what this hour means. Sing a serious minded. The same word was used over in Mark whenever Jesus Christ went over and we found that man was in the graveyard, and he went up to him, you know, and he cast out all the demons, and so many of them, they named his name Legion. He cast out so many demons out of this man. And it says, then they found him, this man sitting clothed and in his right mind. The same word for sober there means his right mind. We need to have a sober mind. We need to have a right mind to understand that we're living in the time that Jesus Christ says one generation is going to live like no other generation, and that's the generation of the rapture of the church. It may be at hand of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Be sober. Be of our right mind. So he's telling every one of us to be sober and be in our right mind, because this is a reality. It's really going to happen, believe it or not. He says, I'm coming, ready or not, that I'm coming back. Jesus Christ is coming. Get right. We need to get it right between our ears to understand this. We need to learn about the second coming. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study the word of God to know that Jesus Christ is at hand. The more we study, the more we know, the closer he gets. As we can see, is the need to be serious-minded about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, if we don't, we're not going to understand anything that's going on around us. Without having this, we miss the great key. Without looking at the second coming of Jesus Christ, when you look at the news and you see the nation of Israel, you see the atomic warfare that people are, the nation's getting ready to unleash if they can. We see what the uproar of the nation of the world is this day. And we see our economy of our world. We see everything in the news, all of our news, and all of our world today. If we don't look at this, and in the second coming of Jesus Christ, we won't understand a thing in the world what's going on. All it do is just scare you to death of what's really happening. But if you get it down serious between your ears at the second coming, I'm going to tell you and understand this. We got the key to unlock everything that we need to know about Israel, everything we need to know about this atomic warfare, what war is going to do, what's going to happen. If we just understand what the Bible has to say, the whole thing is locked up in the second coming of Jesus Christ. To start with, they're going to try to blow Israel off the map, but God says, no, that's not going to happen. So we don't have to worry. They're not going to annihilate Israel. I don't care what country says they are, they will never annihilate Israel. We need to understand that. Now, the United States, a lot of things we just can't understand. You and I have grown up in a country, and every year our family, you know, we've been giving our kids a little more than what we had. Our country got a little bit better than our kids, and a little bit better, and a little bit better, and our country is growing and growing for many generations, and been the powerfulest nation in the world, and no other nation like the nation of the United States with our military power, and Lord, on everything that we have, we are the greatest nation in the world. But now we see on the news, and you understand if you're looking at it now, and see this, that you know the United States is no longer the power that it used to be. And no longer is our money number one object of the world, because you see they're going to be a one world currency. And it's coming pretty quick. The Russians and the Chinese and also the Europeans have already asked for another world currency because our dollar is getting smaller and smaller. Well, what's happening? Well, it's got to get ready for the second coming of Jesus. We got to have a one world currency. Then it's coming. And not only that, you know, the United States is not mentioned in prophecy whenever Jesus Christ comes back, you know, with all of his saints. And it puts an end to this old world we know at today. When Jesus Christ comes to reign for 1,000 years, United States is not mentioned because United States is going to have to come down. Is United States coming down? Well, why is it coming down? Because it's getting closer and closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's the reason it's coming down. That's the reason things are happening like they're happening. It's no longer going to be the world military power, no longer the money power of the world that we look at today, because it has to come down. And we need to learn this in the eyes of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, the church is so important, so we must learn this. The reason we need to study this, the reason that you're here this morning, and I'm going to tell you what, for Bible study and for Sunday school, we need a disciple class in this church. We don't have enough of teachers to go around. We need a disciples class. We need Wednesday night. I'm going to tell you everything, because we need to learn more and more about the Word of God to understand what's going on around us today. It says, you know, we're not supposed to be ignorant because we got the Word of God this day. You need to read the Word of God, study the Word of God. That's what we hear this day. Karl Marx wrote a book, you know, it's on communism. And I've read a little Barts about it, but you know, it says that communism, according to his book, is going to take over the world. But I don't think communism is going to take over the world. But you see, there's another book out today. It's called the Quran, the Muslims' Bible. You know what it says? They're going to take over the world. But guess what? I have another book that I've read. And it's called the Bible. And it tells me that they won't take over the world, that Jesus Christ is going to take over the world. Now, that ought to give you some comfort here today to know that Jesus Christ is going to take over the world. That's what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you, you need to read the Bible. I'm going to tell you, you need to know the end of what it says. Jesus Christ is coming back. Now, we think now in our great minds of ours that the scientist now is going to have the answer to all problems of mankind. I mean, we got so intelligent in this world that science is going to have all the answers of all the things. In fact, science is going to have the cure for all disease. Can I ask you, do they have the cure to all disease? I'm going to tell you, they're more diseased now than they've ever been. I mean, you think you go to the doctor and get some help, now you don't even have no hope. I mean, it's coming this day. You see what science has done. In many ways, science has not only helped us, but it put us in the greater mess that we're in, because our heads and our hands has outrun our heart in science. But not only that, I'll tell you one thing, scientists made a Frankenstein. Y'all ever see that old movie, Frankenstein, whenever I was little? That was a scary picture for when I was little, old Frankenstein. That man that made Frankenstein, and think about it, he's made Frankenstein, and he killed the man that made him, and they couldn't stop old Frankenstein. You can shoot him and stab him, he just keep right on going, old Frankenstein was, you know? Well, you know what? Science has made some Frankensteins in our society, and they just keep on going. Now they can't stop them. You think about this, and there's a lot of ways that old Frankenstein are just walking. And you know what? They can't stop old Frankenstein. That's what science does. Hands and our head outruns our heart and our scientists. Don't think about scientists going to take care of everything. Boy, think about our military. Boy, our military, boy, we are strong. We're going to solve all the problems of the world, stockpiling old atomic weapons. Sooner or later, they're going to go off. I'm going to tell you, sooner or later, they're going to go off. And you know what? We're experts in winning wars, but we always lose peace. We always lose peace. Well, how about social reform? That's a good thing. That's what all the Democrat rides on. I'm not politicking today, but that's what they ride on, you know. That's what the communists rode on, socialism rode on. You know what? I believe we need more jobs, and I tell you, we need to feed the poor and educate. That's yes, 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 that's all good. But Nazi Germany had all this, and they went down as a nation. They painted the chairs on the sinking Titanic, as we're doing in our country. The answer is the second coming of Jesus Christ. They have just reached more than 7 billion people on the face of this earth. How many more can this earth sustain? It wasn't long, it was 6 billion. Now it's 7 billion. You know, they know that whole nation is going to starve. It's not as, what nation, that's all that matter is, but they know they're going to starve. There's not enough of food on this planet to sustain the population growth we have. There's some nation going to starve today. What nation is it going to be? It might be the United States. And none of this is going to make sense unless you see it in the light of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Many believes, as Christians, now we need to get saved. I mean, not a Christian need to get saved. If you need to get saved, it'll cause your problem to be over. And a lot of us Christians, when you get saved, you think, well, my problem is over. But not necessarily, because you see, sometimes that's when your trouble starts. Because you're living in a once born world and you're twice born. Your problem just started. Romans 8 and 16. Or 18 says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know, the saints of God, look at the suffering now. We don't understand. Look at the suffering that we have now. And I think about some of our own people in the hospital with pain and, you know, and they kind of slipping away. And many of you know has had cancer and passed away even at our own church today. And they come down to the last part of their life and they've been worshiping the Lord all the time and they've been serving the Lord all the time. And then they're laying up on the bed there with that old cancer eating them up, and they say, is this all they are to it? Is this it? Is this all they are to it? No, my friends, it's not. Because I've read the back, and it says, Jesus Christ is coming back. Jesus Christ is coming back. Immediately, I was justified in the Spirit 2,000 years ago by Christ Jesus, my faith in Him. Progressively, when I got saved, I'm being sanctified every day in the soul. You know, and ultimately one day I'll be glorified in the body. Jesus Christ is coming back. If you do not understand that, if you don't think soberly, serious thinking, the devil is going to discourage you and lead you down a blinding alley. You need to get it right with God and understand. Nothing makes sense unless you view it through the second coming of Jesus Christ. I think, you see, we need to learn of His coming. But next thing, we need to look for His coming. Verse 7, it says, watch. You see, when somebody begin to say, I'm going to come see you such and such. Richie, I'm looking for y'all to come see us now. And such and such day they come to see you, and you go and look at the winter, see if they're coming. And after a while, you hear some, maybe a truck drive up or a car, and you run and see if, is that them? Is that them? You're watching. You're waiting for Him to come. It says for us to be watching, anticipating that Jesus Christ is coming. Hear some noise at the door. Is that them? And you go and check and see if that's them. You need to be watching. He may come at any time. But you see, as we hurry along this morning, we need to be also looking and longing for His coming. Longing for His coming. Watch, He says, and pray. Pray. Pray for His coming. What kind of prayer is that? Prayer for Jesus Christ to come back. He's coming back. Could it be, though, that our prayers could cause Jesus Christ to move more quickly back to this earth? Could it be that? Is it set on a time? No man knows, only the Father in heaven. Could it be that our prayers, Jesus Christ, come quickly? 1 Peter 3 and 12, look for and hasten unto the coming of that day of God, wherein the heavens begin on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. Hasten unto the coming of the Lord, it says. Hasten, will our prayers help? Well, it will fulfill the conditions. Without that, the Lord will not come. You know what it says in Matthew 6 and 10? It says, thy kingdom come, as we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We pray thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. When we pray that prayer, we're hastening Jesus Christ to coming back at the second coming of Jesus. Prayer helps fulfill these conditions. Peace in this world and peace in Israel, not until the peace of peace comes and sits on the throne of David will there be no peace. And Psalm 122:6, pray for the peace of Israel, it says. They shall prosper that love thee. Pray for the peace of Israel. All right, we're commanded to pray for the peace of Israel. Well, when we pray for the peace of Israel, we're praying for Jesus Christ to come back. Because that's the only time they'll ever have peace in Israel whenever Jesus Christ comes back. Revelation, the last prayer in the Bible, Revelation 22:20. He that testified these things, saying, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That prayer that he prayed, O John, on Isle of Patmos. Yes, you see, we need to learn of his coming and look for his coming and long for his coming. And next thing, we need to be loving at his coming. Now, that's conditions that we need to be living in this day. And I have to tell you, I'm not living as I should. I'm not loving enough. Above all things, the verse 8 that I read in 1 Peter 4:8, above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover a multitude of sin. That word charity means love. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. You see, love. Fill with love at his coming. Why love? Well, Matthew 24:12 says, this is a scripture that really helped me. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, I've talked to a lot of pastors lately for the last several months, even the last year or two, and it seemed like a lot of God's people has got so cold. And every church that I know of, I don't know of one, and a lot of pastors just want to throw their hands up and quit. For no apparent reason, they just want to back off and quit. Well, this scripture right here, I really do believe the answer of our time, because it's talking about the second coming of Christ. And the reason so many have, and it says, you know, because of iniquity, that's cause of lawlessness may abound so great, shall abound that the love of many shall wax cold. Well, what in the world was that talking about? I spent some time on that. Talking about these last days, there's going to be a tidal wave of lawlessness. Have we seen that in our country, in our world? A tidal wave of crime, a tidal wave of immorality today. And because of all that, they're going to be loveliness. Why? These last days, because there's so much suspicion. We're living in a day of the crime, and there's so much suspicion. When you leave home, do you lock your doors? I mean, when you get out of your cars, even at church, do you lock your doors? I mean, ladies, whenever you go out to the parking lot, out of shopping, do you look around? Careful about your handbags, your pocketbooks. How about at night? Do you go way out there and do you park your car way out in the dark at night whenever you're shopping, or do you put it up under the lights? Do you look around? We're so suspicious about everybody. We don't know what's going to happen. You see, we just really don't know. Used to, when a man was in the armed forces and he wanted to go anywhere in this country, all he would have to do, he'd get there faster than a bus and probably a plane, because all he had to do is put his military uniform on and get outside the road and stick his thumb up. Buddy, people to pick him up just like that and carry him, go out of their way to carry him anywhere they wanted to go, and probably a lot of times even give him money. Can't you do that nowadays? There's no respect because they're so suspicious of everybody. Used to, when I was a child, anybody want to hitchhike? Man, it wasn't a problem. You want to hitchhike, you stick your thumb out, you get a ride. And then when somebody got broke down side the road, I mean, you didn't have to worry about somebody help you get broke down side the road. I'm telling you, I'd like to help ladies. Now, man, he changed his own tire. But I see a lady broke down side the road, and I tell you, I've drove by him before. Because I'm scared to stop. Well, you don't know what's over in the bushes. You don't know if she's got a gun or not. Because we're so suspicious of the crime that's happening nowadays. It says the love of many is going to wax cold because of the lawlessness that's coming. the times of these last days. And you see, it's here today. And we kind of pull back. And here's our problem of our churches today. We pull back to ourselves. We don't knock on the doors that we used to knock on. We don't visit like we used to visit. Because the lawless have come in, and the love of many has grown cold. We're cold and indifferent. We're drawing back to ourselves. And you see, we'll die when we do this. Don't let this happen, because you see, we got to look at what's happening in the eyes and also the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter says, don't let the devil keep you from loving in these last days. Above all things, it's a fervent love, because love is the greatest virtue. Abide three things: faith, hope, and love. But love is the greatest. Love is the greatest commandment. Love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Love is the greatest commandment. Love is the greatest testimony. In John 13 and 35 it says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have loved one another. You see, the coldness of people now, they're not coming to church like they used to, because of the coldness of the time that we're living in. But it says here, that all men now know that you're my disciples if you love one another. That's what we hear this morning, to love one another and to love God. But we're at a time of the coldness. You can just kind of feel it creeping in. It's just coming in, and it's kind of putting us asleep. We're asleep here at the time of the second coming of the Lord. And this is most churches and most Christian people this day. But you see, it's the greatest thing for our testimony, our witnesses, love. The greatest thing also for our motivation that we love. Why that I come and I preach this morning? Well, I left to preach this morning, but I come because I love the Lord. Why do I tithe? Because I love the Lord. Why do you come? Because you love the Lord. Why are you here today? Because you love the Lord. Why do you give? Because you love the Lord. Why do you bring your kids on Wednesday night? Why do you come to Sunday school? Why do you teach Sunday school? Why do you sing to God? Why? Because we love the Lord. The greatest motivation, what we do for Jesus Christ, is love. So many times as people say, I don't have to go to church, I don't have to teach, I don't have to do this, you don't have to do anything. But I got a chance this morning. I thought, Lord, thank you. I got a chance to preach this morning. I didn't have to. I could have called Brother Richie. But I got to this morning. Could have called Marshall. But I got to this morning. Sunday school teachers, you didn't have to teach this morning. Students, you didn't have to come today. You didn't have to put your money in that collection plate. Everything that you've done, choir members, you've done it because you love the Lord. You didn't have to. Love is our greatest motivation. It says, you know, in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Love is the greatest confirmation that lets me know that, you know, lost or saved. Because 1 John 3 and 14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abides in death. You know, I love to be at God's house with God's people. That's one of the things that you know that you're saved, because of the love you have for your brothers and sisters. Oh, people says, I can take Christ, but not church. Not according to the Word of God, you can't. Not according to the Word of God, you can't. You have it any way you want to. God will settle it with you. It's not me. The love, he says. The love is a mark of the child of God. But you see, the first thing we find out, the love cost. Fervent love, that means stretched out love. The athletes, it works so hard. Even our children that plays ball, but the athletes, you see, and we have the Olympic Games, and it means, you know, no pain, no gain. It's a word there, stretched out love. God calls the church for a sacrificial love. You know what he's calling us today? He's calling us for sacrificial love. What did it cost you to come to church this morning? What did it really cost you to come to church this morning? Most of it didn't cost us very much. But you see, we know that love costs, but love also covers. Love covers a multitude of sin. Back in the Old Testament, it's quoted there from Proverbs 10 and 12. It says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. Hatred takes the joy in exposing the wickedness or the weakness of others. Now, people like to hear gossip about something happened to someone. Their ears will perk up, you know, and they like to expose. This is hate. Hate, they like to expose, you know, the weakness of other people, because we all have weakness, do we not? And we like to expose the weakness of others. That's hatred. But love, just wish it had never happened. You ever hear somebody, something happened to somebody, somebody done something another, you know, and man, you know, you're pick up, you want to tell somebody, you know what happened so-and-so, you know, they have so-and-so. But see, love says to your heart, I wish that had never happened to them. I wish that had never happened to them. But you see, love cares. Love cares. Use hospitality one to another without begrudging. Love cares. That's the reason I'm here this morning. I care. That's the reason I do what I do, because I care. You see, but the fourth thing, not only we need to learn of His coming and look for His coming and long for His coming, love at His coming, but see, the last thing is labor until He comes. Labor until Jesus Christ comes. We all need to labor. In verse 10 and 11, it says, you know, we have all this gift. Every man have received the gift. So minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Just keep on. Everybody is give a gift when you're saved. Everybody. That's the reason whenever I go out and talk to people and try to encourage them to come, especially if I know their members are either Christians, I say, hey, we need you. We need you, because we do. Because every child of God has a gift to help me and to help one another in the body of Christ. Every one of you this morning. Now, God didn't give us all the same gift. I wish I could sing. I wish I could play. I wish I could do a lot of things. I can't. But God will give other people voices. They give them talent to sing. I'm going to tell you, they give them great talent for a lot of things. But every one of us has got a gift. There's some people who got the greatest gift of encouragement in here I've ever seen. I mean, you got some great gifts because God has given them to you. They're from the Spirit of God. And to minister these gifts to everybody else. They're not for you. Every gift that's given to the church, every gift that's given to me and you, they're not given to us for us. They're given us for to give away to someone else. Someone else. I wish I could sing. I'd be like old Chad. Can you imagine me and Chad singing up together? Wouldn't that be a mess? But Chad, I don't have that gift, but you do. I want to thank you for glorifying God in it. Because that's what it's for. Others, if our church it sings. This manifold grace, it's all different colors of the rainbow for everybody else. You know, our occupation of the second coming of Jesus Christ ought to be that we're busy with these gifts. That old song in our old hymn book, there's two or three in our red book, and I think it's also in our blue book. O land of rest, for thee I sigh, when will the summit come? When I shall lay my armor by and dwell at peace at home. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home. That's how long we need to work. Why? For the good of others these last days and for the glory of our God, Jesus Christ. Would you like to work? I hope this will have an insight on everything that's happening in our day to time. We come with a song of invitation this hour. The second coming of Christ, I believe, is near at hand. These things could not be happening like they're happening unless we knew that Jesus Christ was close at hand. God says He's here. He's right at the door for us to be ready. Are you ready? I hope tonight or this evening that these things have really changed your heart and your mind. Think about the coming. Think about the problem that we're having in our country, in our lives, and family members. It's being tore up so much the day that we're living in. Well, this is the reasons you need to look at the second coming of Jesus Christ and what's happening in our world today, that Jesus Christ is ready. Father, I'm ready. Just give the nod of approval, and I'll put into it. And all He's waiting on is the nod of the Father. Already, He's got His hand